Okay, so anyways, we are right in the middle of our Made to Win series, this whole series anchored out of a passage in Scripture found in John 10:10, where Jesus is talking to us, and he says, the thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. And let me just stop there and say, you have an enemy, and his name is Satan, and he hates you because God loves you. And that doesn't matter if you're a believer walking in here, or you're here kind of checking out faith, wondering if God knows you, loves you, if Jesus is the real deal. Satan hates you because God loves you. And so Jesus then says, but I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. And he's talking to us. He's like, says, look, I want you to have life. I want you to have it to the full, not a half of a life, not a survival mode life. Some of us are just surviving. We're not thriving. Not a fake it till you make it kind of life, but a full life. And one of the reasons we're spending 6 weeks here is because too many people are living watered down versions of what Jesus promised. And you're not thriving right now. Too many Christians are just surviving. When Jesus says, no, I don't want you to have that kind of life. I want you to have life to the full. So we're going in and saying, hey, we want to be a part of helping you grow in your faith, find faith if you're not a Christian. But if you are, we want to help you live life to the full, because Jesus came here to help you win. Came here to help you win. That's what this series is about. As a church, we are pushing all our chips into the middle of the table. We are betting the farm on helping families win with Jesus. That's what we're all about. From our sports fields in Horizon West to our Sunday services, our mission is clear. We want to help you build strong marriages, raise godly children, and then help shape the next generation of families that win with Jesus as well. That's what we're all about. That's how Horizon West, that's how Winter Garden, your neighborhood's going to change. We put a number up here a few weeks ago, and we're going to keep saying it, 38,000. There are 38,000 families in this area, and our prayer is to help every single one of them win. Every single family that God allows us to get our hands on, we want to help them win with Jesus, starting with you, starting with you. And it doesn't matter if you're married, you're single, you're married again, you're a grandparent, you're a kid in a family, you're an aunt or you're an uncle, we want you to win with Jesus. We believe that's where winning happens. And so if you missed the first 3 weeks of this series, we talked about legacy, we talked about mission, we talked about identity. Today, week four, we are talking about authenticity. Authenticity. I remember this really weird moment when I was in middle school. One of my buddies was one of the rich kids in town. I grew up in a small town in Texas, and I was a skater kid. I don't know if any of you did that back in the day. That was a deal back when kids like played outside and stuff. They don't do that anymore. It's like, you know. So, but back when kids played outside, skating was a deal, skateboarding. And so we were both skaters. We became buddies, and it was always fun going over his house because, you know, being one of the rich kids in town, it's like they had everything. It was always exciting. They had the skate ramps. They had a pool. They had dirt bikes. They had three-wheelers. Remember three-wheelers before they became four-wheelers? You know, the big blown-up tires. His family looked perfect always. His mom was always dressed to the nines, and you got to think about this. This was in Texas. Always smiley, big hair. This was a big hair days in the 80s. You guys remember that? I don't think she could touch her hands above her hair. So much hairspray and stuff. But it's like you had the big hair. You had everything right. His dad looked super sharp. They had the nice cars. They had the big house from the outside. Perfect upper class family. Everything. One night, I'm going over to spend the night at his house. I get there at like 9 or 10 o'clock. I knock on the door, and this woman I didn't recognize opens the door. She had short hair, baggy eyes, wrinkled face, and she's smoking a cigarette. And she opens the door, she looks at me, and she says, hey, Kevin, come on in. I am frozen. Because I don't know who this lady is, and I think I'm at the wrong house, when it dawns on me, that's his mom. That's my buddy's mom. But it wasn't the version that I was used to. The version that I knew, apparently, I'm finding out, wore a wig. She had fake eyelashes, paint on eyebrows, big hair, big smile, full of energy at all time. This was the unfiltered version. I think I stood at the doorstep a little bit long like this. Like, I'm like, what is going on? And finally she says, come on in, come on in. I'm stunned. I walk up to my buddy's room and I'm just like quiet for like a minute or two. And he's like, you okay? I'm like, dude, your mom. He's like, yeah, I know. It was just normal. That was just normal for him. What stunned me was how she looked. It was the gap between the public her and the real her. They were two different people. And that night at my buddy's house, like, I remember this like it was yesterday. And that was like, this was during the Reagan administration, okay? That's how long ago this was. And I still just remember this because I learned something that I didn't fully understand at the time, but I understand it clearly because it's something that we all live with. We live in a world full of masks, don't we? We live in a culture of inauthenticity. It's a world of filters. Now think about it. Smartphones came out in 2007. We've had them for, I don't know, about 18 years. Our lives have changed to the point now, from the moment we pick up a phone, our young kids, they're trained to edit, pose, and present. That's what we're trained to do with our phones. Edit, pose, present. Smooth your skin, shrink your waist, brighten your teeth, all with a click. Nobody knows what's real anymore. We project perfect lives, glamorous vacations, smiling kids, picture perfect families. Deep down, we know that's not the whole truth. It is the presented version, yet we still compare ourselves to everybody else's perfect versions. We measure ourselves against what isn't real, and we still feel the pressure to keep up with that. And here's the irony. For all our connections, we're lonelier than ever. We're hiding in plain sight. We wear masks because it feels safer. We deflect. We keep our weaknesses, our struggles, our doubts hidden. We pretend to be stronger, happier, more put together than we really are. And you might be sitting here thinking, well, so what? Everybody's doing that. Like, we're all doing the same thing. Well, here is the problem, and it's a massive one. If we're never really ourselves, we can never really be known. If we're never really known, we can never truly be loved for who we are. And if we're never truly loved, we can never be an authentic, real relationship with God and with other people. Which is why so many of us, we are surrounded by people yet feel lonely, because nobody knows the real us. And it's exhausting. Isn't it exhausting keeping up the mask? Trying to manage the image, pretending everything's fine when it's not, presenting the version of you that you think will work best, the version of you that you think will impress him or get her to notice you, or you're just keeping up the image of what you think everybody else wants you to be. Isn't it exhausting? No wonder Jesus invites us into something better, life to the full. Life to the full is not about managing appearances. It's about authenticity. It's about being known. It's about being loved. It's about being free. But let's get into it a little bit. Why do we hide? Why do we hide the real us? Why do we suppress who we are? If you go to counselors and sociologists, they point to some big reasons why all of us hide, because they say, this is across all of humanity. Why do we hide? Say the first big reason is shame. We hide because of shame. Psychologists say shame is one of the strongest motivators for hiding. It's that deep fear of, if people knew the real me, they wouldn't love me. If people knew the real me, they wouldn't want to be around me. If people knew the real me, they wouldn't call me their friend. So we hide because of shame. Second reason is fear of rejection. Very fascinating study that came out a little while back, American Psychological Association. They show that rejection activates the same part of our brain as physical pain. Same part of our brain gets activated with rejection as pain. It literally hurts to be rejected. And they're not joking. They're like, look, it is a pain receptor lights up. So what do? We protect ourselves from the pain by covering up the parts of ourselves that we don't think other people will accept. And you've got this cultural pressure that, especially, look, I'm just going to be honest. We live in an affluent area. There's a cultural pressure to live under what psychologists say is the highlight reel effect. Show your best angles, your best vacations, your smiling kids, crop out the arguments, the tears, and the fighting. Like, that doesn't happen in our family. It's easier to project perfection than to admit reality. No surprise, then, that we compare ourselves to others. And the more time you spend online, clinically proven, the more time you spend online, the more depression and anxiety rules your life. And the last one is past wounds. Every one of us, we've shared something, we've been vulnerable, and it's been used against us. It's happened to every single one of us. So what do we learn? Not doing that again. Not being honest again, because it'll come back and it'll bite me in the rear end. So we fake it. We want to be safe. We'd rather be fake than be safe and real, because we don't want to get hurt again. Those are the reasons counselors and sociologists say we hide. Well, when you go to the Bible goes even deeper. Why do we hide? Why does the Bible say we hide? It's very simple. Sin. That's why we hide. Sin. Go to Genesis 3, third book in the Bible. Front row seat. Adam and Eve, they ate from the tree. God told them not to touch. Their eyes were open. They realized they are naked. They experience shame for the first time in humanity. It enters the picture. What do? They scramble to cover themselves with fig leaves, and then they hide from God. Every day before that day, God showed up to walk with them in perfect relationship. But then on that day, God shows up and Adam and Eve aren't there. And so he calls out, say, hey, where are you guys? Now, was that because God couldn't find them? No, he knew where they were. Of course he knew that. He knew what they had done. Yet he still came and he walked toward them. And what that reveals is that's God's heart towards us. God knew what they had done. Still showed up to spend time with them. He didn't run away from them. He didn't turn his back on them. They did him. And I'm just telling you, that is what happens with us. We sin, we run and hide. And then we blame God. Well, where are you, God? Right where he's always been, right in the garden. Where are you? Let's walk. But the shame that Adam and Eve had experienced because of their sin shifted their hearts. Instead of walking with him, they hid from him. And ever since then, the enemy has been running the same playbook: shame, fear, hiding, lying. It worked then, it works now. Even though we all have learned the hard way that hiding never brings the results we want, right? You tell me a time in your life where hiding something worked out better than bringing it out into the light. In fact, it usually makes things worse. Think about what makes a good TV drama. You just think about what makes a good TV show, a good TV drama so addicting. It's the lies, right? It's the lies. You, the audience, and I, we know what one character is hiding from another, and we're like, oh, that's not going to work out good. Like, we know what's coming, right? In fact, almost every week, Melissa and I are watching shows. I love, like, TV dramas. I'm just going to say I'm, like, addicted a little bit. But we're watching a TV drama, and it's that moment where they have the opportunity, these two people that you're following, you just want them to get along, you want them to get it right, and they have this moment where they could be honest. And they walk right up to the edge. I hope I don't fall. They walk right up to the edge of being honest. And then they walk away and you're like, no, Sam, just be true. Just be honest. It'll all work out. Because we know that being honest always works out better. But yet, we still hide. And I'll just tell you, hiding things makes for great television, but a crappy life. You want to lose it, life. You want to lose it, intimacy. You want to lose it, relationships. You want to lose it, peace. Keep hiding. Keep pretending. Keep being fake. Keep lying. Play the game that the world has embraced and hide who you really are, and you will lose at all things that are important to every one of us. But if you want to win in marriage and family and friendships and in your walk with God, authenticity is the doorway to that. It's the doorway to winning. What does authenticity mean? It means acting in alignment with your true self, your inner values, your beliefs, rather than conforming to exterior pressures or trying to be someone that you're not. An authentic person, you know what they are? They're genuine. They're honest with themselves and others. They take responsibility for their actions. That's what a genuine person does. So here's where we're going today. If hiding's a problem, authenticity is the solution. And authenticity is not just a nice personality trait. It's the doorway to three things that all of us want, three things that you want right now. They are transformation, freedom, and an abundant life. You want that. You want transformation. You want to be different than you are now. Some of you have been the way you are now for decades, years, and you're like, how am I transformed? How do I become somebody? How do I take that next step in my life? You want to be transformed. You want freedom. You don't want to look over your back. You don't want to worry about what other people are thinking. You're exhausted from just carrying the burden of presenting everything that's perfect. And you want the abundant life. You want life to the full, like God promises, like Jesus says he came to bring. Authenticity is the doorway to all three of those, and let's talk about each one of those one at a time. The very first one, authenticity is the doorway to transformation. One of the most amazing things God offers us is transformation from the inside out. He says, look, I'm not going to make you look pretty on the outside. I'm going to make you beautiful on the inside. And if you're beautiful on the inside, oh, your outside will be beautiful. It's transformation. He wants to shape you from the inside out into the person that he designed you to be. Every one of us longs for that. We want to grow. Who in here doesn't want to grow and get better and become the best version of yourself? I don't think anybody in here would say, I don't want that. We all want that. But here's the key. God can't transform the version of you that you're pretending to be. He cannot transform the version of you that you are pretending to be. Transformation doesn't begin when you finally get strong enough to fix yourself. It actually begins when you're honest enough to admit that you can't. That's when transformation begins. Take off the mask. Get real with God. That's exactly what salvation is. You know, salvation begins when you admit that you're a sinner. That's when salvation begins. That you've chosen your way over God's way. That's simple. Sin. Choosing your way over God's way. And it's asking for forgiveness. It's receiving what Jesus did on the cross for you. Salvation begins with authenticity. One of the clearest pictures in Scripture is the thief on the cross next to Jesus. And maybe you know this. You've seen the three crosses when you see the place where Jesus is like this, like a Christian symbolism. It's like the cross, but there's three of them. Why is there three? Jesus was crucified in the middle, and he had two thieves that were crucified on either side of him. One of them mocked Jesus while they're dying on the cross. Hey, Jesus, if you're really the king, then save yourself and save me while you're at it. Just on and on and on, mocking him with all the people that are down there. But the other one had a different response. He had a moment of clarity, a moment of authenticity. He looked at the first thief, and in Luke 23, verse 41, he says, we're punished justly, for we're getting what our deeds deserve. But this guy in the middle, this man has done nothing wrong. And then he says, Jesus, he addresses Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom. And Jesus answers him, truly I tell you, today you will be with me in paradise. In that moment, some of the last moments of his life, he's honest to God. He was honest to God. The guy didn't fake it in that moment, he faced it. He owned it, owned up to what he had done. He admitted, look, I am guilty. I deserve what I'm getting this moment. And he faced the consequences of his actions. And in that vulnerable moment of authenticity, he experiences the ultimate transformation of his heart, his soul going from death to life, from condemnation to eternity with Jesus. His transformation came because in his last moments, he got real with God, admitted his sin, acknowledged who Jesus was. And I'll just tell you, what you have the opportunity to do is not wait till the last moments of your life. You can admit it right now. Some of you, you're here for the first time. Maybe you're looking for this God thing. You're trying to figure out if Jesus is the answer. Maybe today is your day where you get authentic with God for the very first time. And you don't wait till the end of your life. You do it now, and you start living transformed now. Authenticity with God unlocks salvation, unlocks heart transformation, unlocks intimacy with God. You want to feel close to God. You want to experience his presence. Authenticity is the door. You want to become more like Jesus in your life? Being honest and authentic with God, huge part of the journey. King David in Psalm 139, he prayed a prayer of what I believe is a prayer of authenticity. And I just want to talk to you if you are a mature believer in Jesus Christ. And you're here, and maybe sometimes you even think, you know, I just want something deeper. I just want something a little bit more. I want to share with you a prayer that if you can't remember the last time you prayed this prayer, you're not growing spiritually. You're not continually being transformed into the image of Jesus and in his likeness because you're not asking God and praying this prayer that David prayed in Psalm 139. He says, "Search me, God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. Point out anything in me that offends you and lead me along the path of everlasting life." Why is that a prayer of authenticity? Because so often we ask God for forgiveness or we go to God with our blanket stuff. Oh, God, I've sinned. Would you forgive me? And we do that, and you know what? God's faithful. He'll forgive. When's the last time you went to God and said, "Hey, God, I know the sins I've asked you for forgiveness in this blanket sin, but Lord, is there anything else in me that's offensive to you? God, is there anything else that's holding me back, that's keeping me from experiencing life to the full? Is there anything else? God, come in, look inside me, test my thoughts, look at my heart. Is there anything else that I need to know about so that I can invite you to help me bring healing to it? Anything, God." It's a prayer of authenticity. I love that. God, is there anything that needs light brought to it? Let's deal with it together. And here's what's beautiful about a prayer like this. Now listen, you're not going to pray that prayer and ask God to reveal to you something and him go, "Huh, I wonder what's in there." He already knows. He knows everything. He knows every victory, every failure, every motive, every thought. And he still loves you. You can stop pretending with God and get real with him. And when you do, you don't find rejection. What you do is find forgiveness, healing, and grace. Transformation doesn't start when you get it all together. It starts when you come clean. You want to be transformed by Jesus? Come clean. You want your marriage to transform? Be honest about what's really going on. Have some honest conversations. Want your faith to grow? Stop pretending you don't have doubts. Jesus never ran away from anybody's doubts about him. He steps into the doubt with them and helps them. You want your family to thrive? Model authenticity in front of your kids. Show them what humility looks like because authenticity is the doorway to transformation. We don't have to fake it. We're all sinners. You don't need to hide that. You can come here looking pretty, but we all know the truth. We know you don't have it together. Why? Because none of us have it together. And Jesus already knows, so let's just come clean. Let's be authentic. Jesus stands ready to transform the real you. Second layer of transformation, or second layer of, for today's message, is authenticity is the doorway to freedom. Authenticity is the doorway to transformation. Authenticity is a doorway to freedom. Authenticity isn't just being honest. It's not just honest. Authenticity is liberating. It's liberating. The moment you stop living behind the fake version of yourself is the moment that the chains start falling off. The enemy doesn't want you free. Satan wants you fake. Because if he can keep you fake, he can keep you stuck. If he can keep you fake, he can keep you hiding in the dark. The Bible says that Satan oversees the dominion of darkness, and that if we walk in the light, as Jesus is in the light, the blood of Jesus covers us from all of our sin and cleanses us and cleanses our hearts and our souls. So Satan does darkness. Jesus is in the light. Heads up. Don't try and fight the devil in the dark. You will not win. You fight the devil in the dark, you're always going to lose because the darkness is his dominion. Here's what Satan wants to do with your sin, your doubts, your questions, your shame, your sin. He wants to just keep you locked up by keeping you in the dark all by yourself, where you don't process it with any other Christians or anybody else. You keep it private and hidden. And when he gets you in the dark, he's going to ground and pound you with condemnation, shame, and feelings of disqualification. That is just his game. He beats you down with the lies. Oh, that's what you did? Are you even really saved? you claim to know Jesus, but look what you're doing with your life. God won't forgive you for that. You're completely disqualified. God can't even use you anymore. You're like damaged goods. You're unworthy of anybody loving you, much less the God of the universe. You fight the devil in the dark, you're going to lose. But watch this. Jesus is not in the darkness. He's in the light. So here's what you do. You find some men of God, or if you're a woman, you find some women of God that have faith. You find women of God that have an intimacy with Jesus. They love you. They have conviction. They have courage. They've got a backbone. And here's what you do. You find them and you drag whatever you're struggling with, your doubts, your questions, your sin, your addiction, your failures, your shame, you drag it into the light with those other believers. And here's what happens. Once you drag that into the light, that's where Jesus is. That's where Jesus is. And you let him reign victorious over that thing, because that's what Jesus does when you bring it into the light. When you get real and bring it into the light, you find this merciful God who loves you and doesn't condemn you. You find this merciful group of people and Christians who love Jesus that will love you and not condemn you. And the sad thing is, that's not necessarily people's experience with church people, right? But that's what church people are supposed to be like, that love Jesus, and that's what we want to create here. I'm just telling you, when you get real and you bring things into the life and into the light, you become free not to run from God, but run to him. And I will just tell you, the more and more you mature spiritually, when you live a transparent life and you're authentic, and that leads to freedom, the quicker you are as a mature believer between the time you sin and the time you run to the Father and tell him exactly what you did and invite him into healing you from that. The more mature I've gotten, the easier it's become to just go, Jesus, I just did this. And I'll just tell you, I'm not a blanket confession guy. I'm a Jesus, I just did this. And it's hard to say. Oh, it's hard to say some of the stuff. Jesus, I just did this. Would you forgive me? Would you help me? I don't ever want to do that again. I need you right this moment. And I'll tell you, what you find when you do that every time is grace. That's why James 5:16 says, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be, is that verse up there? Let's put that verse up there. Bring me the next verse. I want to say this together. Confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be, what is that last word? You will never heal until you're real. You will never heal until you're real. That's why authenticity is not just a nice personality trait to have. It is a spiritual weapon. You want to shut Satan down and his activity in your life? Bring it into light. And you will find healing. Rob Reamer, in his book Soul Care, he puts it this way. He says, you will never rise above your level of self-awareness. I love that. You'll never rise above your level of understanding the depravity that you carry within you. The things we deny about ourselves are the very things that deny us from the fullness of God. In other words, the parts of your life that you refuse to be authentic about are the very parts that keep you from freedom. Freedom isn't found in pretending you're fine. It's found in letting God meet you in the truth. That's why we have made soul care a core part of our discipleship process here at Crossline. Let me just talk about soul care for a second, and I want to introduce you to the leaders of it in a minute. But soul care, every single one of us, we have baggage. We have lies that we believed since our childhood. We have wounds that we have carried into our adulthood, and we have shame that we've hidden deep in the closets of our hearts, every single one of us. And if you do not deal with those things authentically, they will hold you back from ever being free in Jesus' name, ever. I'll just tell you, I've been through soul care twice. Every time, God reveals another layer where I have been believing lies, lies about me, lies about God, lies about life. And I've learned, oh, that's why I respond this way every time I'm in this situation that I just can't seem to find victory in. That's why I make these decisions. That's why my whole life, God has revealed things through Soul Care. One time I was led through it by just a guy that loves to lead pastors through it. Another time through the book. There, my whole life I've uncovered things that since I was a kid growing up in a broken home, I found lies that the enemy planted in me as a kid that have been with me my entire life. And every decision I make goes through this filter that's built on a lie. And I've invited Jesus into those moments to bring healing to those lies and supplant them with truth. And it's changed the whole way I process life, the whole way I see life. I've actually found freedom. That's why I want every single one of you to go through Soul Care. It's not about fixing you. It's about helping you let God free you. You want freedom? You're not going to get there alone. You can't do it on your own. You need there's a process to it. It's messy. It is really messy. But it's always worth it. That's why I want you to hear from two people that have walked this road. And so I want to invite Keith and Debbie Valentine out. You guys can come on out. And I'll give them a hand in a second, but let me talk to them. Let me talk about them first. These two have walked the Soul Care road, the recovery road. They have dug into the stuff that we don't really talk about. They have pursued authenticity with Jesus. And we've had around 100 people over the last 5 years. 5 years ago, they came to me and they said, hey, we feel like God is calling us to do like recovery ministry and Soul Care stuff. And I'm just like, thank you, Jesus, because we need that here. Over 100 people over the last 5 years have walked through this Soul Care recovery journey. And because we're making it one of the mainstream next steps of our church, if you want to be a disciple of Jesus at Crossline, I want you to hear from them because there's a class starting next week. And some of you today, God's going to tap you on the shoulder and you're going to be in it. And you're going to start finding freedom like you never dreamed possible. It's going to be because of these two wonderful people who I'm proud to call family. This is my little brother, 14 months, little brother, and his wife, Debbie. So let's give him a hand and then we'll kind of talk for a little bit. I would love to hear from you, Debbie. Just like give us the heartbeat behind Soul Care. So like give us a little bit of a heads up, like what is it, what do we do in it, like a little bit of that. So
yeah,
go for it.
Yeah, so Soul Care, the heart behind it is really about encountering Jesus and opening up the door in our lives to the places where maybe that are dark and hidden, and inviting him in to the broken parts for him to heal our wounds. And it's all about breakthrough for those of us who've been held captive by lies and negative patterns and unhealthy mindsets. And it's all about release for those of us who've been bound by guilt and shame and regret. And it's really about receiving the beautiful exchange that Jesus has for us. It's joy in to replace mourning and beauty for the ashes that are in our life and praise for the heaviness and despair that we often feel.
Yeah, and it's like you guys kind of follow a book. There's a book called Soul Care that we kind of follow the teachings of, which is just really breakthrough stuff. And it's like this book kind of brings up, here's seven areas that we lack freedom, that God wants to bring freedom to us. And so, Debbie, I would love for you to share, just give us a real moment where someone's honesty in Soul Care really led to a breakthrough for them.
Yeah, so we have a saying, we're only as sick as our secrets. And in Soul Care, we invite one another to bring what's hidden into the light. And so I remember one woman who, she's given me permission to share this, but she carried so much shame from something she had done in her past that she swore that she was going to take it to the grave. But in her group, after hearing someone else confess, she had the courage, through tears, to confess the most shame-filled secret that she held. And instead of rejection, she was met with kindness and acceptance from her group. And even more powerful, she had this incredible encounter with Jesus Christ. And he spoke to her and he said, "You are forgiven." And man, that night she left, she was 100 pounds lighter. Like, she was dancing and just so full of joy.
Oh, I love that. I just think I don't even know how to say it. I think without something like soul care, the process that you work through with people, you'll never get where God wants to take you. It's just not possible. And what's great about these two, I'm just going to brag on them a little bit, is they have done the hard work of doing this themselves. They've done the hard work of beginning to find freedom in areas of brokenness, in areas where you were bound by lies, by mistruths. And so I would love just to hear from you, Keith, kind of like, how has soul care impacted you?
Yeah, you know, you've heard Kevin talk a lot about our past. I had a lot of damage in my past, a lot of anger in my past that really kind of came out, and got in a fight with Debbie one day over five years ago, and she's like, you got to do something about that anger. And I said, I don't have an anger problem, and I slammed the door. Yeah, I had an anger problem. And so I went through recovery, and they gave you a lot of coping mechanisms, but they weren't getting to the root of the issue. And what would happen is that, you know, I have five kids, so there's a lot of anger that happens when you have five kids. But what would happen is we got to the root of where I had a really strong root of rejection in my life. And so when my kids would reject my parenting, it would trigger me. And so I would ask them to do something. They wouldn't do it. It would trigger me. And my anger was at a level that was not healthy, right? God doesn't say don't get angry. He says don't sin in your anger. I was at the sin level. And so going through this and just dealing with soul care and getting to where, I think I'm faster to apologize if I do trigger. I catch myself a lot better and don't get that hot. And it really has just changed the tone of our house, I think.
That's great. Debbie, how about yourself? You've done a lot of work.
Yeah. And I do just want to say with that it's a process. It's not something that happens instantly. It's a journey with the Lord in relationship with Him. And so as a child, I often felt that love and acceptance were conditional and they were based on how I performed. And so one of the biggest core lies that I uncovered through soul care was that I believed my value depended on my performance. And so I constantly felt like a failure as a wife and as a mom and even to God. And so it's all because I felt like I could never measure up to the standards that I set for my own self. And so through soul care, I came to believe the truth that my value was settled at the cross and my worth is anchored in the heart of my Father, not in what I do. And so today I walk a lot freer and lighter and a lot more secure in my identity of who I am. As a mom and as a wife.
That is so good. I know there's some people out here, and I'm just going to address some of you out there, and you're going, yeah, not for me. I'm not that messed up. I don't believe lies. I'm like, that's a lie right there, okay? You do. But I want to ask you guys, you know, I'll start with you, Debbie. What would you say to someone that's out there? Because I know somebody out there is thinking, I don't need that. Or I'm too broken for that, or I just have normal issues. I don't think that'll help me. What would you say to them?
So the truth is that all of us, we've got issues. None of our families were perfect growing up, and we all carry pain and trauma and fears and doubts and struggles. And I just want to say you are worth investing in, and it's worth your time to invest into your freedom. And there isn't a single one of us that's too broken that for Jesus to heal. And there's none of us too far gone that Jesus' love can't reach us. And so I just say our good Father's heart is to release us from the things that are hindering us and binding us up so that we can really take flight and get unstuck and we can soar in and live out our destiny as God planned for us, like the good plans that He has for us with Him, full of purpose and full of hope. And so I feel that soul care is one of the stepping stones in that journey.
Yeah, absolutely. Keith, what you got for us? Like, why talk to some people out here? Talk to the dudes. Because I know they're going, Not going to happen.
Not for me. Yeah. You know, there's something about having a band of brothers and something about going through this journey and just being honest with other people that are in the same place as you, kind of in the same journey. We're all Christians. We're all trying to do better. In a non-judgmental place is the most freeing experience of your life. To have men that I can look at and say, Satan doesn't have power over me anymore, is because I've got 10 guys in the room that know everything about me. And so he can't use those lies and those history against me, because he's like, oh, you're this. Oh, well, John knows that. Kevin knows that. Jim knows that. So tell me something I don't know. And there's freedom there. And so, like, if you have an apprehension in your body right now that's like, I'm not going to do it, you got to do it. That's why you're feeling that way. Satan does not want you to come have freedom. He wants you to be where you're at, stuck in life, and walking in the shame and the pain that you carry with you on a daily basis. So come do it. Let's do it.
And I'll just say this. These two are a gift to our church. They feel called. Well, the few people, they feel called to step into your mess. That's their calling. What do they do? What are they here for? They're here to step into people's messes and bring Jesus into those messes and help people find healing. And that's a grace that's been put on your life. And our church is better because of it. And so over the next years, part of this discipleship journey is you're going to spend some time with Keith and Debbie as they lead you through soul care. And you're going to find some things that you're so grateful that we've got two people in our church that will love you like that and love me like that, that they're willing to step into the mess, step into the gap. And the question I have for you is just this. How long do you want to live in dysfunction? How much longer do you want to live in dysfunction? And at what point are you ready to step out of it? This is one of your first stops. Let's give these guys a hand. Thank you guys for sharing. All right. I did this last service. I just have so much to say on this stuff. I'll give you two words. Don't put them on the screen yet. But there's just something that I want us to be known for as a church. And you're a part of it. I'm a part of it. But there's something that I want for your family. There's something that I want for you personally. There's something that I want for our church family. And that is, I want us to be a place where we do this. Go ahead and put it up. We normalize honesty. That's what I want this place. I want us to be the place that we normalize honesty. I want it to be when people walk in here and they're inauthentic. We're just like, hey, whoa, hey, like, come on into the light. Like, we're just normal, regular people. We don't hide here. And what people find when they walk in inauthentically is they find that there's a freedom here, an invitation to be real, maybe for the first time in their life. And they're going to find love and grace and the freedom that Jesus brings. We want to normalize honesty. I want your home. I want you to normalize honesty. Your life, normalize honesty. Okay, last thing, because we got to roll. Last point, authenticity is the doorway to the abundant life. This whole series, we've said the abundant life, Jesus promised, it's not measured in cars, houses, vacations, or trophies. It's measured in love, joy, peace, trust, and connection. That's the abundant life. In a family that braces authenticity, the John 10:10 life, it looks like peace, where you're not constantly walking on eggshells, hiding your failures, trying to impress other people. It looks like honesty, where kids don't have to wonder if dad's words line up with his actions. It looks like transparency, where mom can admit she had a tough day and that she's sorry that she snapped. That's okay to do. It looks like grace, where failure isn't final. Forgiveness isn't rare. It looks like truth, where the Bible is lived out. It's not just read out loud. Authenticity is what gets you there. Families don't thrive in perfection. They thrive in honesty. And so here's a statement I want to give you about our church. It's incredibly important to me, and that is this, and it's not going to be on the screen, but I just want to say at Crossline, it's okay to not be okay. That's how I want to say it. It's just okay to not be okay here. It's okay to not have all your crap together, because none of us really do. We just hide it well. It's okay to be real. What's not okay is to stay not okay. That's what's not okay here, is to stay not okay. We want you to just be open, and I want you to imagine Just imagine allowing Jesus into every one of your struggles. He doesn't bless the pretend version of you. He meets the real you. Imagine what it would look like in your life. I just want, would you just close your eyes? Just close your eyes. Just the whole room. Imagine what it would look like if you truly embraced authenticity. Imagine if you stopped hiding, you stopped pretending, you stopped faking it, and you started living free. Imagine homes where husbands and wives stop competing and start confessing to each other. Imagine families where kids knew they could bring their failures into the light without fear because grace was always bigger than shame in their home. Imagine a generation of students growing up knowing that perfection isn't the expectation. Presence is, honesty is, Jesus is. And just picture what that would mean for our church. It's a place where people walk in broken. Didn't have to wear a mask to belong. It's a place where it's safe to not be okay because we trust Jesus loves us too much to leave us there. It's the kind of community where the abundant life of Jesus becomes visible, where life to the full isn't just a verse we quote. It's a reality that we live. That's our calling. That's your calling, is for you to live that out and then for us to live that out. Place where authenticity opens the door to transformation, to freedom, and abundance. It's to be so real here, so full of grace, so authentic that the world can't help but take notice. That's life to the full. That's the gospel. That's what Jesus came to give us. And for some of you, it starts today where you step across the line of faith, because today is your day of salvation. Today is the first day of your life where you take off the mask and you be real with God and with your eyes closed and your heads bowed. I just want to invite you, if today is your day of salvation, if today is the day where you take off the mask with God and you own your sin, you own choosing your own way over God's, and you invite Jesus into your life, this moment right here is your moment. I just want you to you can make my words yours if you want to step across the line of faith. This changes your life for all eternity. And you can just make my words yours and just say, Heavenly Father, thank you for loving me. Today I give my life to you. I believe you sent your son, Jesus, to die on the cross to pay for my sins. And today I ask you for your forgiveness. Jesus, I invite you into my life to be my Lord and Savior. I commit my life to you. Help me as much as I understand it to live every day of the rest of my life for you and with you. In your holy name, amen. We're going to close with singing a couple songs, and let me just tell you about worship. Worship can be an incredibly authentic moment for those who believe in Jesus, where we just open up our hearts. We don't worry about who's around us. We focus on the words that we're singing right out of Scripture, and we allow them to come from deep in our soul. And you can have a real authentic moment with Jesus over the next few minutes, and I want to encourage you to do so. So let's stand up and let's just worship God together.